My voice is breaking and I've hair on my chest. A few weeks ago, I had a wet dream that I was having sex with my uncle.
Are you telling us this or is this
This is the next letter, yeah.
Tell your girlfriend I love her, cause we're talking on the internet. Tell your girlfriend I love her, cause we're talking on the internet.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Boom Chalkcast. I'm Ross Shannon. I'm here with Ty Glipton.
Yeah.
I'm here with David Flood.
Yeah.
And I'm here with Tennis of Firth.
Or something like that.
Oh, there's two tennies.
Jeez.
Yeah, there we go.
If you want to laugh into the mic.
Oh, good God.
So, alright, so join us today for another edition of Bands Interviewing Bands. We have a band called Cascades, and they're from Cabra in Dublin. Not Cabra in Spain.
I got that mixed up. Cabra in Spain?
Could be. Sounds kind of Spanish. They're indie rock superstars. And they're playing in the Workman's Club on October 7th with Kojak.
Here we go.
Boomchild might be appearing inside of a cake and coming out of a cake at the start. But
it's an open mic night at the start, but all the seats reserved for your band.
Oh yeah. Well, so I'd like to introduce from Cascades. We have David Nolan and Liam Smith.
Woo!
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
First up,
now we have a message here
from who?
There's a lot of complaints about the last few shows, so we have a disclaimer here.
Okay. All right,
here we go.
This is Boom Chalkcast, where most of the people are real. The stories may be real. The lads are lads and the cows say moo. Listener's discretion is advised.
That's it.
Well,
that's
I'm so it. Glad you put Trade that in. I just didn't understand the show before that was in.
Yeah. I didn't agree to that disclaimer.
I also have a new sound effect.
Yeah, I haven't heard this either.
Yeah, this one's great if you just told a really funny joke.
That's horrifying.
That's it.
So right. You went to record that. You went out.
Went out.
Squeezing babies.
He actually made the noise himself.
Yeah. Squeezing my cat.
So, lads, first things first in this interview. What we all came here to find out, and what all the listeners want to know, is meeting at 12 o'clock. Who came up with that idea?
That's what I wanted to know.
Are you going to both blame each other on this?
I mean, I'm not pointing fingers at any of the listeners, but I don't have my fingers up at Liam. he didn't want to come here early, but, you know, some people have real world things to do, I think.
Yeah.
Not me, though.
Like, 12, especially on Saturday morning, is early for me. Like, if my house is on fire, I might get up at that time, but
see,
other than that...
usually that's reserved for, you know, playing FIFA in my pants.
I get up at that time so I can set my house on fire. Before
and
anyone wakes up.
So I got here, arrived here, I was like 5 to 12. Can't wait. So I'm gonna go, I didn't notice there was a touch lamp there before.
I put my grandmother's ashes in there and ever since, when you touch it, it goes on.
See, the thing was, you complained about it being so early. I thought that you just complained to Tig and Tig would be like, oh, okay.
But no, he knows what I'm like, early starts.
No, Tig Lipton is big into...
starting early.
Starting early.
Getting the job done.
Being on time.
Yeah.
Having everything planned out. Unfortunately, most people don't go on like that.
Yeah.
So he's angry majority of the time.
Yeah.
It seems like we have the same sort of band dynamic then.
Yeah. And then there's the bassist that doesn't turn up.
He doesn't.
We've won them as well.
Yeah, we're like, arrive at this time and he won't say anything. And he might show up. And if he does, it's good, but it'll be late.
I think he has a more mysterious persona, though. Yeah. That's what he's got.
So, also,
me and Ross saw him at the bus stop once. And
yeah.
I was staring at him. And I was going, is that the bassist from Castells?
Because he kind of looks like a lot of lads.
It fucking is. Yeah. I gave him the hardest, satisfying nod I could.
Yeah.
And he just blanked me.
Did he?
He probably didn't know who I was.
He also has bad eyesight.
He lost the beard, though. So yeah, that could have changed up the game a lot.
That's Mr. Ronan Kendrick.
Yeah, I was just saying,
Kendrick,
so
what a great name.
Doctor, yeah.
you guys are in Cascades allegedly, and then there's two other lads at the band. There's Jamie plays drums.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We don't know his second name.
Bradshaw. Yeah, he doesn't have one yet.
Jamie's not even his first name, that's his middle name. People just I don't know how
that's true actually.
I don't know how it came about.
Oh, one of those people.
Yeah, one of them people, huh?
First name, we'll just give you the initial.
How does that happen? Like, I knew a lad like that, and it was because his parents, like, after a few years, you're like, ah, no, I like his middle name better. But yeah, they never changed it.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah, no, his brother called him Jamie, and it stuck. What parents pick a name and say, oh, yeah, you pick the name.
He's got great initials, though, because if he goes by Connor, then he's Connor J.
Oh, well, there it
then
is.
Then he's CJ, CJ, and then if Jamie, it's JB, so he's got it set. I'm LS, and that's the worst of all time.
Jeez, huh?
I like it. That says like someone is giving him a sexual proposition, and he's like, oh, is well, when you put it that way.
Is there a noise for every key on that?
Yeah, well, just up to about here.
Nice.
And then he's got the other triggers up there.
What's this one? And so Ronan plays bass, and he's the only member of Cascades I've never had a conversation with.
Yeah, he's an elusive one. Yeah. Mm.
But you do get some good conversations out of him. We didn't have a conversation with him for a good two months or so.
Then we started calling him out.
So he's in the band.
Yeah.
And you didn't talk to him for 2 months.
Well, we did, but he was very quiet.
Yeah, he sat down and he just played this crazy shit, and we'd just be like, "Oh, that was unreal." And he just, yeah, that was alright.
I didn't know him too well before he joined. And Liam was like, "Oh, you got to hear this guy play bass." And he came in, and he's like, "All right, Ron." He's like, "All right."
Liam was like, "You got to hear this kid."
It's true.
It's a wonder boy.
He did play, and I was like, "Oh, I don't really like him that much, but he has to be in this
band." What?
But now we love him.
Now we're best friends.
No, he's a really good bass player.
Yeah, he's actually ridiculous.
Yeah, he's one of those stupid.
He's the famous one, I think, out of the band.
Yeah. Well, what we couldn't get over when we first saw you is not to butter your bread or anything. But,
I don't know where he's going with this.
Grease the wheels.
No, but just how tight you are. Musicianship is ridiculous.
The first time you saw us in Fibbers.
Were you playing in Fibbers?
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe not the first time.
I remember
that wasn't
that
so good.
That was because our mate Panda said that to us. He was like, I love when you, like, he's not very musical, he's like, when you do things and like you do them at the same time and then you stop doing them at the same time, and we're like okay, we'll translate that. We'll do that more
often.
We'll
keep that in mind.
That's one thing we're always really impressive when you all stop and you all come back in at the same time, because whenever we try to put that in songs, someone always forgets. They're like, all right, that's... It's like, oh, sorry.
I think we would have given up if it didn't work the first time. Yeah. It just did.
A lot of times it's triggers as well. Like, we have Ronan do a little slide up his bass, and then we know exactly when to come on after that. Yeah. Something like small things like that, or Jamie just kind of tap the hi-hat there.
You shouldn't be revealing that. I didn't cut that out. We're just real good, like, straight away.
What we do is we get the B minus formula and we insert it into our musical instruments.
That minus B formula doesn't work for anything. You can't apply it to anything.
Jamie would be devastated. Jamie's an engineering boy.
You can get the American Netflix if you put the minus B.
I thought you were all like big fucking hippies and you're like, we're not going to plan when to come in. We'll just come in. And when it feels right.
We were planning a certain time, but it just so happened to be an hour after we were supposed to be here.
We came up with a new intro for a set there, and we only rehearsed like twice, then we went off the gig.
I couldn't remember what it was.
I couldn't remember what it fucking was like. And there's this part where we all stop at the exact same time, but I couldn't remember where the fuck it was. And I was trying to get people to turn around to give me a nod. Wasn't happening.
I can confirm that did not happen.
we're very scared. Well, I was very scared playing that intro. It was so fucking loud as well.
It worked out though.
Yeah, luckily.
From a bystander's point of view, anyway.
Yeah, that was a strange. That you see, that was a. Usually that gig, they're in the main venue, which you'll be on October 7th.
you got the main venue, fair play.
Yeah.
That's deadly.
It was a funny coincidence that happened. After your gig, I went downstairs and I was talking to a guy who's working the door.
Yeah.
I'd never actually been in. I've never seen the main venue. And I just popped my head in. He's like, it's 5 in. I was like, oh, I was just having a look. I was like, what capacity? And he was like, ask that guy. And that guy was like, oh, I'm the manager. Do you want to see the book? Yeah, there's a free date on the 7th if you want. I was like,
yes, we got it for free.
You were telling me that. I thought it was great. I never thought of doing like that.
I never thought of it either.
I'm here.
Didn't even think of it while it was happening.
That's so good.
I'd say you came in with a swagger and they're like, this lad.
I was actually drenched from the rain. I only realised for the whole gig that I had a big, greasy paedophile hair.
So good.
Maybe he was scared. At
that should be the name of a new song. Greasy Pedophile Hair.
Perfect. You heard it here first.
David was at that gig. I don't know if you knew that.
I gave him a shout out to our new song.
I thought that was a different David Nolan.
Yeah.
We took that gig, assuming, because we played that gig before and it was in the main venue. We thought it'd be in the main venue again. And it was upstairs with like hardly any gear. We were like, what the fuck? And we came real early. It turned out to be really good. I don't know why.
It was good.
Everything was going against it. For the day.
There was no drum kit for the first 3 hours.
Yeah, we got there and they're like, yeah, we're waiting for a drum kit or something. I don't know.
Or something. Yeah. Or a keyboard or one of those instruments.
Yeah. And they were like, we need 4 vocal mics. And they're like, about that. They turn up anyway.
Well, the weird thing was, like, when I got there, there wasn't many people there. I think the crowd was mainly the band, yourselves. And then when you got up, it was like, okay, now the other bands are just sticking around. And then after about 2 songs, there was a whole crowd there. And I was like, okay, did they mean? It looked like everyone just came in from outside and was like, oh, let's actually listen to these.
Well, you want to see, you want to have a look at the guitar. And then what happens is, I think everyone
draws you in.
Everyone wants to look at the guitar, and then they're trying to ask them how much did it set them back.
Yeah.
A lot of people are trying to go, but they say real quietly, so you can't hear them. So they'll be going, geez, how much that set you back now? Jesus.
Eventually, they'll just keep coming to gigs, and you'll have the O2 full of people. Looking to see how much that key
tech costs. Yeah, Tenny got that from
Japan. Is that was in Japan?
No, I think I'm from Hong Kong.
Ah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, because I think if you bought it here, it'd be ridiculous money. Yeah, I don't know how much you got for it.
Oh, apparently you got it at a great price and then customs got him. Right. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I can imagine what the customs officer was thinking with that.
I've seen Tenny a few times when I've been on a bus and he's just been sitting there in a suit, and it wasn't even like it's not even like there were buses going anywhere close to the same place. He was just
the weird thing. Well, one of them was our local bus, which we know it doesn't go anywhere interesting.
Yeah, you know? And it's kind of James Bond-esque because it's the weirdest thing.
Do you think he gets on the bus for free? I just have to get
they just don't want to deal with Tenny's bullshit. They're like, shut up, go on. To be honest, I don't know why he's in a suit. Did you see him twice in a suit?
Twice, it was in the same week as well.
Because he does a lot of piano lessons, like, all over the place, like, when he travels to them. Like, he teaches piano, like, and... If anyone's looking for a piano lesson, he could really do with the money.
October 7th.
Where the fuck was he going in the suit? I don't know. I'm sure Tenny's like our to a certain extent, he's our Ronan in the band.
Just thinking that, yeah.
Where like he's really good, but
silent lady killer.
he's really good, but like he doesn't obey logic or rational thought or anything like that.
That's so similar, actually, when you think about it. Like, Ronan would think he's very talented. Tenny's obviously, you said he was a classically trained pianist, didn't you?
Yeah, he's got everything, but...
And even my girlfriend doesn't know what a bass sounds like. She just listens to music and goes, yeah or no, basically. And she's looking at Tenny and she goes, this is wild.
You guys, I'd say you guys are fairly resourceful getting your own gigs together.
Yeah, really impressive.
Yeah.
I don't know, it just seems, it's kind of like every time we get a gig, then it's like, okay, what do we do next? And then we kind of just don't really do anything, and then there's 1 week, it's like, we should do a gig, and then a gig comes about, it's like, well, okay, that was handy, what are we going to do next time? it's gypsy luck, I think.
Yeah, kind of once we get the ball rolling, it just keeps going.
Well, what I always find, to be a compliment is when people kind of, like, offer stuff to us. Because this is like, it's not like it's a job where you sign up, like, I'll be the guitarist in a band. It's like a hobby, and people are like, oh, hey, how about, you know, you do this for us? It's like, oh, okay, well, now we're working at this.
Yeah.
In fairness, like, we haven't been a band, I'd say we haven't been a band much longer. When did you first, like, start?
Do you mean very, very, like, the onset of Cascade?
Yeah, when did you first start, like, practicing regularly?
Conceived.
Yeah, it was me and Dave up first at the very, very beginning, and then we I don't know how it started, but it was just like we both play guitar. He was trying to get me into a band from like when we were like 11, 12.
Fuck,
I know very much how it started.
Yeah,
just kept annoying him.
And then eventually I agreed to go busking, and it was awful, but it was funny. So, like, we just kind of kept doing it. And then somebody asked us to do a talent show, and we're like, you know, who else is in that year? And he's, like, fucking crazy good at bass. Sorry for cursing. And
fucking better be.
And we got him up, and he played songs from...
Shit, wrong fucking fuck.
That's it.
No, that's...
No, this... No. There it is. Okay.
Edit all.
So, then, busking.
And then we went out again the next year with a guy that we know, a guitarist we know. We asked him to play the comb for us, and he had already, like... established roots with, like, Rowan, because he used to play in a band with him. So them two had songs together, and then...
I suppose that was kind of the first Cascades.
Yeah, that was the beginning of Cascades. We got...
The following day, fucked him off.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of true.
When was the name conceived? Was that before Rowan? It was before Rowan.
No, that was before you, kind of. Because, remember, there's this Battle of the Bands that... there's this Battle of the Bands for the Academy. And I had stuff recorded at home, and I sent it in with the name Cascades. It's like, Liam, I signed up for this Battle of the Bands. You're my band now. He's like, oh, okay. And then we did fairly well. We got like a couple of hundred plays on the song. And then I think you were kind of like, okay, you know, this isn't too bad.
Mm.
And kind of regret not putting too much. Like, I wish I sat down and concocted a big plan for the band name, but it was just like, this is good.
I'm into it though, because at the time it was like our favorite song by it was Death Cascades by Fleet Foxes. That was our jam back in the day. And
dropped
then,
the
yeah.
Is it famous things have a the, or is it the other way around?
That's one of the questions I was gonna ask you. Is like, is it, are you ever called the Cascades?
All the time, yeah.
Yeah, well, we're always called it, but it's not like it's not official.
Mm.
I feel like more grown ups will call you the Cascades.
Yeah,
are you using the Cascades? Yeah, I don't know, because like you've got some bands, it's just whatever. Like you've got Talking Heads, but everyone calls them the Talking Heads. Mm. So I don't know. Mm.
We're
the Boom Childs.
Yeah, you'd never say that. Yeah, I think that's a weird thing. There's like, the way I think of it, there's the Titanic, and that sunk, so you don't want to be as a...
So what year would that have been?
Oh yeah.
Oh shit, yeah.
2013, I think. It was definitely 2014 when we like had our first proper gig with Jamie.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I definitely count that as the first gig, because...
Was it 2014, yeah?
Yeah, it was February. Oh yeah, it was because it was Becky's birthday.
No, it was like an awful gig, but it was like, we thought we were like the
We don't like
knees.
You, Becky, just if you're listening.
Yeah, it was like, we played pretty shocking, but we had the most people there for the Battle of Bands, so we were like...
Yeah, we thought we were great.
We thought we were going to win, and then they had to put it down to a decision, a judge's vote.
An actual band won.
And they were all right, but...
Where are they now? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that's what I want to know, too.
Two of them are dead.
Drug overdose.
That's what I thought was mad when I left school. There was lots of bands in my school, and, like, everyone was real competitive and stuff. And then, when school finished, loads of people just didn't stop doing music.
There was two bands in our school, and one of them was a year above us. And they stopped in sixth year because they were studying.
So one of them, the lead singer, pursued music, but the others did like their own stuff, and I think that kind of just disintegrated from there.
We had the monopoly then. We had a school band.
Yeah, because any gig I've gone, I've seen is you always have a big L draw.
We completely put that up to Jamie Bradshaw. That's his support of friends.
Ronan actually, it was our first gig. It was like, whoa, Jamie has loads of friends.
It was only a week after we known Jamie.
Yeah, we had met him a week before, and then like the next few gigs, Ronan had loads of friends, and like people, remember Twisted Pepper? People came backstage. We're like, well, you can't come in here, and they're like, we know Ronan. We're like,
Jesus.
Anyone could use that excuse. Yeah.
And what's great is these are all paying friends.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Fiverr, you turned up. Hey,
what's so you might. I think we might be just going a little longer than you then, because we started practicing about the summer of 2013.
Oh, is that the same year that you started?
It would have been me and Liam then.
And I'm dying to know where. So you, with the drummer, where did he come from? Because apparently he brought in the bass player, is that right?
They got him in it.
No. Ronan's my little gift to the band.
Jamie was like, they went to a sperm bank and they got a sperm.
Jamie would tell you any old stupid story about it, yeah.
We knew Ronan for years. Yeah. Well, like, Liam knew
him. I've always been really good friends with him. And, like, I've always just wanted to play with him because I know he's just stupid, crazy good.
We had a few drummers that kind of, they went.
Gossip.
Yeah,
weren't drawing the crowds.
A few drummers is a bit of an overstatement.
We had like a few one time.
We had like three Cajon players.
Yeah,
and then we moved to electric guitars, and then we had a drummer in, and he didn't seem interested in like a schedule. And then Jamie was just well up for it.
There was two or three people who could play the actual drums, and we were like, okay, you have to come down, and they were always too busy. And then we were talking to one drummer came down and played with us. And he was fairly good, but he was studying as well. I think that was an excuse.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, I'll get you in contact with my friend Jamie. And we looked at Jamie's Facebook page, and he did the shave or dye thing. He had bleach blonde hair, and we were like, who is this?
It wasn't even bleach blonde, it had turned ginger at that point.
Yeah, it was ginger. And I was like, all right, I'll message him. I looked at his music likes on Facebook, and it just said rap. And I messaged him.
He doesn't even interrupt.
No,
apart from NWA, apparently he's been into NWA for years, but I don't know.
That's good for a drummer though, if he says his influence are rap, like.
Yeah, no,
like, he's gonna be good.
It's not metal, so like it's different. Like,
yeah.
It's,
when I messaged him, I was like, oh, Stephen, tell me that you're a good drummer. He's like, Stephen, I don't know him. But I'll come down anyway.
And then as soon as he walked in the door, I was like, oh, no, David, I know this guy.
Yeah,
like, he's a prick. We have to get rid of him. Because I'd played him in a match when I used to play for Plunkett. I played him in a match and he was a filth bag on the pitch. every time I'd turn around, he'd like stick his hurling to the edge of me. And like,
I said that to him like a year later. I was like, oh yeah, Liam knew you, and he was like, oh shit, I'm so sorry, I'm very competitive.
It's funny because he sprained somebody's leg on my team that day, and then my manager came up to me and he's like, you better like take him out. Putting up his hand for a ball, and I just like cracked his hand, and he said he was in like he was in bits for like a few weeks after that, and then we saw each other and we were just best mates again.
But like, if you look back through school, like everyone's a prick, really.
Everyone's a prick, yeah.
That's true.
Like, I know, like, we're only a bit older than you, we're like 20 or something. Like that, I think. around
very,
there.
Very, very unknown.
we're gonna say we'll average maybe 20. I don't know the age of the other two lads, to be honest. I don't know, your age has changed because you shaved off your beard. But yeah, you look back and you realise, oh, everyone was a prick, and so was I.
Jamie,
we're letting you off, but we still think you're a prick.
He's definitely gonna listen
to that
to
me.
Well,
he was like, oh, I was a prick. Ronan never said it.
Even though we're older, we're 20, we're only going slightly longer than you. So I'm always afraid when you ask me for voice stuff, I'm like, oh shit, they think I've been knocking around the scene for like 10 years.
We probably have the exact same experience.
Yeah.
What about that Fibbers gig? I remember we were talking to Dave, and he said that was just a practice gig for you.
Yeah, that was the first gig he's had after he turned into the bassist, and you were.
Yeah,
you
see, for a year we were a five piece. It was more or less the same, except Dave played guitar.
Steve Murphy and drums.
We got rid of him. Yeah. I don't know what he's doing now. I think he's a plumber or something. And we got this lad in. Yeah, Dave was playing guitar. And Tenny only started playing guitar, like, he used to play keyboard.
Hell. He used to play stand-up piano. It was fucking ridiculous.
Like, he's
in the worst way.
No, but he's class at it, like.
Yeah, he was, but it just looked fucking awful.
Well, no, there's five of us and a keyboard on the stage at one stage. And it's just no room, like, and then carrying it was like a proper Roland, like a really high-end keyboard. And it was so heavy, and having to find stands for it every gig and stuff.
A lot of bar stools.
So eventually we found out that Tenny, I think, thought we wanted him to play piano all the time. We didn't know that, like, he loves, like, his keytar is his favourite instrument. We didn't know that.
Did he have the keytar?
Oh, he had the keytar. Like, but he'd always say, like, I'd always say, like, oh, maybe I should whip that out for, like, a few songs. And I'm like, ah, Tenny, then you have to bring the two of them to the gig. And like, we didn't realise for ages. And then, Tenny was like, I don't know. We eventually said, oh, yeah, well, just the key there. We can't carry this fucking keyboard around. Because Tenny had a case with wheels on it. Yeah. But what Tenny would do, he'd go around with it. He wouldn't look. It was a shit case.
It's the
like,
size
wheels.
Of a Christmas tree.
Like, it's a huge full, it's like a full.
Yeah, you'd just be knocking everyone
the,
out of it.
The full octaves of what a class, like a grand piano or whatever. And he just wouldn't look behind him. He'd be knocking over small children and fucking knocking people off bikes, and he wouldn't fucking realise.
That's the problem with playing kids' birthday parties. Yeah. Just getting in the way.
So that gig we played with you, we first met you, that was our first gig as a four-piece. And Jesus Christ, I listened back, like recorded that, we were playing about fucking 100 miles an hour every song. But you seem to like it, so.
I don't think we've said this to you, but like we were standing around before anyone got there, and we were just like four of us at a table.
God,
completely
good.
Forgot about this, and we were having pints or whatever, and this fella comes up, and like I was talking to Rowan, and James talking to Liam, and he just goes up to Jamie, he's like, and he was looking for a bag, are you?
A bag of what?
Jamie was
bin
like,
bag.
He was like, what? And he was like, you're looking for a bag? And he was like, what? No, we're about to play. And he was like, oh, right, okay, sorry. And then he goes back up to the jukebox, and then you were playing, you know that bit where you do, like, the Happy New Year?
Yeah.
You go down, and you go up to him, and you're like, Happy New Year! And he's like, what? And then he ran out the door.
You pop the party popper directly into his face.
I'd say he's just thinking, I am quitting.
I only vaguely remember that. I remember wishing an Owl Lad Happy New Year, an Owl Lad watching us. Older people fucking love our band, we found out.
I think they hate when you throw your guitar, though. I remember seeing one fella, like an older gentleman,
especially
you two down your guitar, and he's like, oh, Jesus Christ, look at that Fender. Look at that 1977.
I think some people, when you do try your guitar like that, some people think, oh, fucking shit, he's gone mad.
Yeah.
He's going to start knocking everything over. Yeah. I remember once in a, we remember when we were playing Fibbers, and usually at the end of last train I usually throw the guitar and I just grab the mic and start singing.
Yeah.
I think I knocked over the mic stand and the mic stand went flying because I just grabbed it and I was singing, and fucking John Claude, the wizard sound engineer, works
yeah,
the famous.
We know him, yeah.
Yeah, I grab the mic and I start singing the rest of last train, and he just fucking marches up the stage, grabs the mic stand, he just angrily puts it back up, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then at the end, after the set, he gave out loads to me. Like,
could you understand what he's saying? Because we had no clue what he could
say. Oh, no one does. I've had conversations with him about pedals. And
when we were sound checking for that, I think it was probably Jamie's maybe second sound check at, like, for a proper gig, because he hadn't actually played in a band before us, but he was like we don't know. It was inaudible mumblings from Jean-Claude. He was like, kick? And he was like, no. He's like, snare? No. He's like, what do you want me to do? Yeah. And he's just like, Tom. He's like, which Tom? Tom.
Yeah, he said, well, he has such a heavy accent, like.
Yeah.
He was saying to Tig Lipton, he was saying, don't caress the snare.
Yeah. don't caress it.
Yeah, but I didn't know what he was saying.
He just said, how often so he says that.
French. But apparently he's a very good sound engineer.
Sorry, John Claude, if you're listening to this.
Sure he is.
What are the chances?
And then other days you go, when we play Furious, other days he's a fucking nice lad ever. Like, yeah. He's chatting away to you. Like, he's like, oh, I'll sort you. And I was like, one of my leads was faulty. I needed a lead. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. And he just goes to me, don't panic. Don't panic. If you panic. He's just like, calm me down. And I wasn't losing the head, but he was just, he was very supportive.
Going back to the last train, how did that cowbell solo come about?
I will tell you right now. I was hoping to make up a story, but I'm just going to tell the truth.
I think it just came about.
What happened was, I only started playing drums in a band with Boomshaws 2 years ago, so I never really played drums before. I got a drum kit when I was like 14, but I never played it.
Lads, that would have been a great time for you to go, yeah, it shows, man.
Yeah.
Just jokingly, not being serious.
We'll say it to ourselves when we listen back to it.
So basically, like, I was trying to learn to play the drums or whatever, and it all was going well, and then Ross goes, oh yeah, do a drum solo. So I was like, no hope. So I just clinged onto the cowbell.
It sounds great, though. Yeah. Like, you don't need to be going crazy to do a nice solo. And, like, I don't know how that drum solo is coming to conversation with us like two or three times.
Two or three times.
I love that solo. I love all them solos. Are so good.
I feel like it's sort of samba influenced or something. Because me and Dave played the tequila riff over it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So there's a huge backstory to that drum solo.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was a backstory till now.
It's all coming out.
Now that you're getting all this adulation, Tig Lipton, are you going to start playing drums in other bands? Is this where this is going?
Jesus, can you imagine?
I know a lot of drummers. A lot of drummers just play in loads of bands because there's so few drummers.
I can imagine there's like the exact opposite problem with bassists. For like, if you need a bassist, there is none. So if you have one, like, I don't think any of us, like any of the other lads, have been asked to play in a band, but Ronan has
all the time.
Yeah, just people come up to them and they're like, I hear you're in a band, do you want to play in our band? He'd be like, I like my band. There's one fella in our school who came up and he was like, hey, you're in a band, aren't you? Do you want to be in a band with me and my mates? And he was like, what are you called? Like, what do you do? He's like, oh, we haven't started it yet.
Who's this?
But you're going.
Oh, Jesus.
Sure, we'll put you down anyway. Like.
So we'll pencil you in for Wednesday.
That's good.
Has it ever happened that, do you know the solo you do?
For Last Train?
Yeah. Has it ever happened that you do the first part of it and the second part you mess up and people just think you're a bad guitarist?
Oh, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to remember what I do during it.
There's a finger tapping. There's a lot of techniques in it anyway.
The one bad thing about being a guitarist looking at other bands play is that, like, with pedals, I'm just looking at the pedals the whole time because that's what I'm interested in. And if there's something going wrong, I'm like, oh no.
David gets a great sound.
No one else notices. Dave does great work with pedals.
Because that's actually how I convinced. Because for a while, we were going to get a replacement bass player.
We remembered we hated everyone.
And. We couldn't figure out what to do, and I was trying to convince Dave to play bass, and he's like, I don't know, and he was like, I was like, yeah, you can use pedals, you can use all the same pedals you use when you play guitar. He's like, oh yeah, definitely I'll do that.
By the way, in case anyone doesn't know, Dave Flood is an amazing drummer. It's his main instrument.
Yeah.
In case nobody knows that. He only started playing guitar, like electric guitar, properly when he joined Boomchild.
No, he always played like...
He strums acoustic around the place, yeah.
Well, no, he was like... I've known Dave longer than you.
Oh, okay.
Getting told off today. So, you're out of your depth is what I'm saying. Now, Dave Flood's one of those lads, you come across these lads who are just, they're good at like a load of instruments and they play... But he's like Dave Flood's like an expert level drummer. He was in like a post rock band for years, playing all this like crazy type signatures and stuff.
Wow.
But
I would have thought bass was his first love because
generally any instrument you give him, he's good.
How come he got appointed drummer? How come Tig got appointed drummer?
Because
he didn't get.
They were like, "Do you want to join a band?" And I said, "Hell no."
Yeah.
No, I think what happened was
you can be the drummer.
David left that band he was in unceremoniously. He left that band he was in.
Is that the name of the band?
Yeah. he left that, and I think he didn't want to play drums.
Yeah. But like at the start of Boomchild, you were playing bass and stuff.
Oh, it was crazy. Yeah, like, we didn't know what we were.
Yeah. We just decided to go together and no one decided what.
We were swapping instruments and everything. It was a mess. Yeah. And we eventually... We weren't fully formed. We didn't come out the way you saw us.
C-section.
It was painful. It was real obvious, like, be a key to a rock band. No one else is doing that. We should have thought of that day one.
So what was the birthing of Boomchild? Where did it all begin?
I think for the whole way through college, I wanted to be in... You see, we all met in college in the dock. And I wanted to be in a band because I was in a band the whole way through school. And then I moved to the dock. And then I was trying to get bands together. I think we all kind of wanted to be in a band. And we were just all friends. But like in college, there was never... Everyone's schedule never matched up to get a practice going. So we kind of said, as soon as we all graduate, we'll form a band. And that's how it came about.
Ross was playing guitar in a band with Dave.
Dave was playing drums.
And then my earliest memory is I was at a barbecue with Tenny and yourself, Ross. And you just sat... Do you remember that? In Rush?
Rush. Oh,
and you
yeah,
were just saying to me, what's three lads?
I was like, will you go? I was like, first I was like, will you go out with me? And you're like, ah, kind of a girlfriend.
Yeah, but you were just saying, will you be in the band? I just remember me saying no, and then you'd been like, you can play drums, and I said, ah, yeah. So I did. Because
you told me
play drums.
You told me that was your childhood dream to be a drummer.
It was, yeah.
I had the same dream, but yeah. I just wasn't allowed to get a drum kit because my house is too small.
Yeah, so that's the thing.
I said, I'll just play guitar. Which I actually I got guitar here, and then I said, this is good.
Yeah, well, your main instrument this lad is guitar.
Yeah. 3 years.
I think so. I tried not to talk to him before I was in the band with him, so I don't know. I don't know anything about his backstory. I don't even know his real name.
Would you like
it's Jim
to play?
Or something?
Would you like to play with another guitarist, or do you prefer to have the whole thing?
Listen, I told you before, David.
He wants it all.
There's enough people in the band. You can't.
There's too many people in the band already.
Like, we have enough trouble splitting the money. We have enough trouble getting four people to turn up at the same time every week. God, it's hard. Don't worry, this lad will turn up. Yeah. Don't worry. What are you looking?
This is.
So we're listening to all your stuff. I listened to it before.
Yeah.
I don't know. Listen to all your stuff on while we're waiting. I thought it'd be great if we listened to all your stuff on SoundCloud.
Oh, wow.
And if that was the exact time it took you to get here. It took you longer, though. I just thought this would be hilarious. I bet you'll get here.
See, that's the thing. We actually had the same thing. We were listening to our EP on the bus, and we were just thinking, you know, we'll wait outside until it's finished. But then we got a bit distracted, and we listened to a bit of Marvin Gaye. We actually listened to two of his albums outside. So sorry about that.
Yeah, but them things on SoundCloud are pretty
well,
awful.
The way they happened was, at the time, yeah, we were just like, okay, we need to record these so that people know the songs, and we'll re-record them later. And I think, as you know, if you're going to re-record everything that you do all the time, you're never going to be moving on. Mm-hmm. So
like you always want to, like, you always want to record as early as possible. Like, you're always like, because you want people.
Yeah.
A lot of times when you're applying for gigs, they're like, oh, what do you sound like? Yeah, so you're like, oh, we have to record. We have to record. Yeah. But we haven't practiced. Oh, we have to record, man. People have to, we need to get gigs.
I didn't mind those recordings too much because it was good practice for me recording and, like, learning how to use Pro Tools and all that. So at least now that there's more people looking to listen to us, that there'll be better recordings.
Yeah, we sound a bit better now.
No, I think those songs are great. You play all them live as well, I think.
Yeah, they're the only ones people know lyrics to because they're on SoundCloud, so we're trying to get a few more
things
up now.
The thing is, I wasn't sure which came first, the SoundCloud or the, you know, the people knowing the songs, because there was some songs that we played before we put stuff up and people knew the words, and I was like, maybe there's something to this music thing, you know?
Yeah, the first songs we wrote were very digestible, like, what's it? Delusional Minds. Yeah, that, like, people can latch on to the melody of that so easily, I think.
I've seen people at some of our gigs sing along to songs, and I know they've never seen us before. Like, it would be like his brother's friend or something. I'd be like, oh, look, you know, he's here and he's singing the song. It's like, oh, well, fair play to you. Thanks.
Fucking Still Around and Buoyancy are both, like, they still have hooks in them, but they're both, like, have loads of sections in them.
Yeah, a lot.
We were listening, before you came, we were listening to Steal Around and putting in this as a remix going.
But that
song's unreal. There's so much stuff in it. Like,
I think, after we did that, I was like, oh, there's maybe, like, too much stuff. It's moving all over the place. But listening back, I kind of like that. It's still interesting. Like, when we play that,
it's
still...
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's really fun to play. That's what we always try to go for, just something that's fun to play. And somehow we always just go for the most intricate stuff we can possibly do.
Like, we have some stuff that's verse, chorus, bridge, somewhere in the middle. And, you know, like, there's nothing wrong with them. And, like, I kind of prefer to have some of them. But it's always the weird ones that are most fun to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that new song that you played at Workman's, the first one, where it's like Dave and you have...
Yeah.
What was that called? That was...
I don't even know what that song is.
That's only brand new. That's called Break It On Holiday.
Was that the first song we played?
No, it was one of the first new songs.
Yeah, that's good.
But, no, just that bit at the start where it was just like, bam, 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 bam.
We love callbacks sort of stuff.
Yeah, like, we did that and Still Around as well.
Yeah, you cool. Use it at the vocals as well sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to do more of that. We have new news on stuff that we're actually doing.
A lot of stuff in the mix, yeah.
We have...
Do you have an exclusive soundboy that goes exclusive?
And they're a lot simpler. We're trying to break it down a lot more now and kind of go for a normal format. a lot more.
But there's always a surprise in there. But we have three videos coming up.
Wow!
Live sessions that we're going to be doing, and there's a few new stuff in there.
Yeah, class. And you'll hear our new songs at the gig if you're going, or whoever is going can hear it at least.
Deadly.
Are
you working on EP at the moment or something?
I wouldn't call it that.
We're
exactly,
basically just recording stuff and just going to put it out there.
Just going to throw it up.
We hate the way say we know bands that have been together like a couple of months and then they're like, here's our new EP.
Yeah. EPs, that word's just thrown around a lot. I wouldn't call it an EP unless it's like completely official.
We've talked, me and Tig Lipton have talked about the whole EP thing.
I openly hate EPs.
It's kind of
which is awkward when you're in a band about to put out an EP.
But it's kind of like it's sort of like I don't know, it's like a side effect of modern music. It's like streaming services. Mm. It's just a thing now. I think a lot of it, I think, comes from people just can't afford to record much, so they do an EP.
I think an EP is great if you have some good stuff that you just don't want to put on an album, or like if you're not ready to put on an album. So if you have like a good EP with some solid songs, and I'd say I have the feeling that the stuff that you're going to be releasing on that EP is just going to be solid. But as I said,
we have a lot of we're trying to release some. Have you heard those binaural drugs?
Binaural beats. Huh?
Yeah. Binaural drugs, where like it's supposed to like you get like an ecstasy one and you listen to it. And you're supposed to get like the effects of ecstasy after listening to it.
Are you gonna do any of those hidden track little gems?
I've got all the fucking. I'm doing gangster interludes on this EP. If we're gonna do a bullshit EP, I'm gonna make it good.
I was thinking like, let's say if there's five songs in the EP, I was thinking maybe we should just have 10 tracks though, with like five tracks to just.
My first idea for like a gangster rap interlude thing is Tenny working like in Super Value, and his boss is telling him stop like playing guitar, and he just starts trashing the shop.
Yeah, I'd actually love to hear.
You'd need a video for that, because I'd love to see him trashing anything.
I was thinking, I have some random clips of us talking in rehearsal that I kept away that I thought might be useful.
You could make it into like a concept EP.
There's some notes I did at 12 o'clock.
While you're doing that, I'm going to interview, get nerdy. What's your recording setup?
We've actually a really good setup, actually, because my two eldest brothers are part of the band, Gypsy on the other band, and they... like they have crazy stuff now, because they spent like the last like 3 years just getting seriously into shape and just like pulling up the socks and now.
And they've also, like, fair play to them, they've actually taught us a lot. Well, like,
tons.
I used to spend like when we were doing Still Around or whatever, I'd just be in the shed at like 1 a.m. and his brother James would come in and be like, "What you doing?" I'm like mixing. He'd be like, "Oh, here, like let me show you some tricks and Pro Tools." After Still Around, unfortunately, I'd gained so much experience that I hadn't been able to put into the actual song, so. The new stuff will be a lot better recorded.
Wow. Ironically, Cascades are doing way better than their band. So, what's the name of their band?
The Gypsies on the other band. They're releasing the album now soon.
I haven't heard them. I tell you what I have heard of.
Now,
Cascades.
Liam, Ross has some very revealing pictures of you here.
Nah, they're just pictures I drew. I had some good... Oh yeah, I was doing some research very late last night.
Research section.
According to Liam, according to your Facebook page.
And I quote. This is your personal Facebook page.
According to your Facebook page.
What the fuck is this, Ross?
He never uses it, so I can only imagine.
Yeah, I don't know. That's anything that's on it is from when I was like 14.
Well, according to your you know, your stats and stuff, it says you're David's son.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, it's the... like,
I don't know if we can reveal that.
Just means one of you, if you're a son, like biologically, would mean, I don't know, you'd have to be like part sperm, like you're half a sperm or something.
The weird thing is that Liam's younger than me, which is what complicates it even further.
Yeah.
But I always wanted a dad, you know. And that was the thing, I didn't have a mum or a dad.
So now he has a son. I adopted him as my dad. So
I'm trying to. I have some other notes. There's something I found in your bio that I thought was kind of mysterious.
It could be my occupation.
Well, no, not in your bio. In the band's bio on CascadesIreland.com. Everybody,
that's the place to be.
Yeah, plug.
Yeah, all the hit bands have their own website now.
Do you have your own website.com?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Hey, we have as well. Don't be
boomchildband.com.
Don't be so surprised. Yeah, they're on the ball. Wow. They're doing much better than Gypsies on the Autobahn. I'll tell you that much. According to your bio, it says they refuse to be pinned to one genre. I like that. I can relate to that. Mix it up. But they said also in the same sentence, it says, and continue to move the floor. Now, like, what's going on there? Like, are you shifting the floor? Like,
that's a geographical
shift the floor, do you see the pipes underneath, or are you moving the pipes out as well?
See, like, we have a few gigs coming up. We're gonna be playing on tectonic plates, and that's a bit of a spoiler. But
yeah, I just thought that was the thing that stuck out most in your bio. The rest of your bio is just, yeah, we're really good.
What the fuck's a tectonic plate?
It's continents.
I don't know.
It's like, you know,
it'd be great if it was one of those things like,
eat your dinner
off. Mushroom geography. Or something. One of those disgusting pictures. Everyone's gone, what's a tectonic plate? Typing it in.
Tectonic plate and My Lazy Sunday. about the genres thing. I don't know, it's hard to...
Oh, I don't care about that, I just care about the floor. So.
It's hard to look at your own band and say, like, what genre you are, but...
It's pretty hard. We just say... we just tell people we're guitar rock because there's no, like, definition.
It's also...
There's no genre.
I don't feel like we have a genre yet. Like, we don't have a... Like, we're still looking for a style.
If you say rock, it's like, oh, so you're like Led Zeppelin. Like, no, we're more like indie rock. Oh, Arctic Monkeys. No.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, the whole labeling thing is tough. The worst thing is, like, you should never say who you're influenced by, because people then go, first of all, with the four of us, like, we're all into, the four of us are, like, me and you have some stuff in common, but between the four of us, none of us like the same stuff.
Yeah, I think...
Which is better in a band, I think.
We like the same, like, me and Liam like most of the same stuff. The other lads, kind of, we'd show them stuff, and they'd be like, that's cool, but they have their own thing, But I got Jamie into Led Zeppelin big time.
That was good.
I was big into Led Zeppelin. Then he, like, I kind of stopped listening for a month or two, and then he was like, I love Led Zeppelin. I was like, oh, I'm over it.
And then, now he always plays the intro, The Days and Confused, every time sits down the drum set.
I actually got back into Led Zeppelin after playing with this lad. Because you started baiting the kit.
Yeah.
Because the drummers, because I played a lot with David Flood before, and he's like a very technical player, like, I forgot how fucking great John Bonham is. I was like, I'm gonna say this Led Zeppelin again. Yeah.
What I love about seeing Jamie playing, like, we see him all the time practicing. Obviously, maybe sometimes he just practices on his own, but maybe sometimes.
Yeah, hope so.
I just imagine you there, like, watching him through a webcam, going, "Go on," and you're there eating yogurt.
And he doesn't know the webcam's there. But when he plays live, I mean, like. Obviously, most people just see him when he plays live and they're like, yeah, he's great. But when he plays live, he steps it up big time. And sometimes I'm looking at him like, that's fucking great. Do more of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's always a nice surprise.
We're all four of us. We're definitely into it. Me and Ronan, like, love funk and soul. David's not so much into it. He likes his more, like...
I'm into the
weirder. Yeah, he's into the weirdest of all weirds. And I dig it too, but, like, yeah. I don't know what Jamie is into, really. It's sort of...
when he first joined the band, we were like, what kind of music do you like? And he was like, just everything.
Tunes.
And we were like, don't say... Yeah, he probably would have said tunes. Yeah. And I was like, just give us a few bands. And he was like, The Kooks, Foo Fighters. And then, like, a couple of months later, he just told me, he was just saying stuff that he saw on my Facebook.
Yeah, I like the Arctic Monkeys, and you're like,
I like all these bands from 2004, I think.
He's like, I like Delusional Minds, they're really good. I was like, that's me, Jamie.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I mean, I like you. I mean, not like, but can I be in your band?
Yeah, no, it's funny, I was mad at the funk music. Like, I did my college thesis on the history of funk music.
Ronan would love that.
Yeah, Ronan would dig that.
I don't know. I'm into loads of different stuff. That's what everyone says.
I hate that answer as well.
But, I think it's kind of cool the way the four of us don't have a lot of common. It's probably just me and you. I don't know. I don't really like talking to you.
Don't you have a series of podcasts with just the two of you?
It's tough.
A lot of silence.
It's tough. You haven't heard the unedited versions. I try to think. Any other stuff I was going to ask about the band? I just have famous people from Cabra written down here.
Did you know? I'd love to know that.
Did you know Dickie Rock, famous showband singer, is from Cabra?
No, he is not.
Well, according to Wikipedia.
Well, I can't imagine could Wikipedia be, could be knows Spanish. Where Cabra is.
It could be the Cabra in Spain.
Apparently Johnny Giles is from Cabra.
Yeah, that's, I can imagine that.
That's kind of believable. And WWE champion Sheamus.
Sheamus, yeah.
Just Sheamus.
That's the truth. Have you never seen
Sheamus?
Is he
new or something?
He's in the last 10 years, but apparently he's the big deal now.
He's a big ginger fella.
Yeah, he's a big ginger.
I think he was probably entering wrestling and he was like, sure, I'll just type down any old name for my wrestling name.
Yeah, he's ginger and Irish, so he's he comes in with a shillelagh and a leprechaun behind him every time he goes on the stage.
He's not the only one. Your man, don't know if you should say his name on there. Public radio, but
Hornswoggle is that his name?
The guy likes to be. He wants to be a professional wrestler, and he went to prison.
Oh Jesus!
He's from Cabra.
Yeah, he's from Cabra.
I think he was a professional wrestler.
No, he was getting trained by Sheamus for a while, but then he got.
Is he gonna come after us? We won't name him.
I just don't really want to tarnish this podcast.
Yeah, what is that?
You're saying Hornswoggle? Is he one of the Dwarf Lads?
He's the Dwarf Lad.
Yeah, there's a few dwarf wrestlers going around. Fred Houston.
It's a niche market.
I really wish this was a video so we could just put in a clip of that and talk over.
I was just thinking, me and Ty Lippin went to that Twisted Pepper gig he did.
Which so good.
I'd actually never been to Twisted Pepper.
Favourite part
before.
Was the. Star Wars.
Oh,
the space lift thing. Is that the start or the end? I can't remember.
That was the beginning. That was
so
one,
so good.
See, we weren't sure about that because no one really remembers the start of the gig, I think.
And then I messed up. It was the very last bit and I played it by myself and I look up a row and I just go, I don't remember how to play this. And
goes,
I just went for it.
It was dun, 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 and Liam was playing. It was dun, and he was bollocks. We had our backs turned though, so we got away with it.
Yeah, no one, you find out quick enough, no one notices those kind of mistakes at all.
There's been plenty of mistakes. There's been a time where I was punched in the face at a gig and a couple of people saw, but I got away with that.
Who punched you in the face?
Adam from Bagels.
Why did you do that?
I was in the crowd doing a guitar solo and he was getting all excited, throwing up his hands in the air and just so excited that he smacked me in the face, and I just kind of played it off and went back and played my solo.
Then he got him after the show.
Yeah. Oh, we got him good.
I think I caught the end of their set. They weren't wearing any tops and I was nearly walking out. I wasn't putting up with that. I was like,
it was very loud as well.
So we got retribution for that anyway. We did their taxes and in a couple of years they're gonna get it.
I just thinking you must have been one of the last to play the Twisted Pepper before.
I think we were. Yeah.
I was a bit annoyed that no one died at our gig.
Yeah.
What a letdown.
Yeah, I don't know. Our names would have been in the papers.
Yeah.
Jesus. That wasn't your gig, no.
Did anyone die at any gig?
No, someone died of an overdose, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's
I'm a
big. Does that have anything to do with why they shut down insurance or something?
That's completely why, and that's 100% the reason why.
Really?
After that gig, we went upstairs into the smoking area, and the place is just
Not only that, even before that, it was we were getting in and stuff, and they were all right, lads, here's a backstage area, turn the lights on, there's a couch and a mirror with coke on it, and we were like, right, I think we'll just hang out down at the stage. Anyway.
Yeah.
Wait, there really was? I thought it was a joke.
Like one of them Scarface mirror tables.
Fuck's sake.
Coke on it.
The worst part was we just walk in and it's just four of us standing in a doorway looking at it and everyone turns around to me and goes, don't get any ideas now.
Yeah, we had to hold back Ronan. He's trying to hoover it up, you know.
That's fucking mental.
Man, hipsters love drugs. They're hip.
It's true.
Was it just four lines or was there lines?
No, it wasn't even. It was just the dust just kind of I don't know.
Could have been dandruff.
Small little hail.
Could have been someone checking their dandruff out in the mirror. And we all got on.
Fucking.
Could have been a snowy anthill.
Because I was when we were there, because they had the screen and everything on the Twisted Pepper and these weird fucking PA speakers. And lights, and I was like, oh, we should put on a gig there.
And then it closed.
And then it was closed.
I was happy we got in there anyway before it closed. It was a great venue, but
We'll thank Dusty Rhodes for that. He's a great man, he set it all up for us.
He's off now with the Riptide Movement in Australia. He's gone on Thursday.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Who's Dusty Rhodes?
He works with like this promotion company, and we just kind of asked them, like, do you want to just like make a little bit of bob on the side?
Yeah, he wanted to get his bearings on the whole Dublin scene. So he was like, oh, I'll take you on. We'll just like, you'll get you a gig and you just work. You just get the crowd in and yeah.
One complaint that I'd have, and this is a weird complaint, but he bought us all pizza and beer.
Yeah.
And we were like, this is great. And there's people who like our mates were there, like Mark was there. And he was like, do you want some pizza? Do you want a pint? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, this is fucking great. And after gig, he's like, right, there's your percentage. And I was like, what, like, where's all the money? And he was like, oh, well, I bought pizza and beer. I would have gone hungry.
Yeah.
So no more pizza and beer.
No more pizza and beer.
That's great. They took it. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I think we were completely overestimating. We thought we'd be selling it that night, but...
Did you get a very big crowd, I thought.
It was like, because we were told to stay up in the backstage area until we were actually going out on stage. And then when we went out on stage, the lights were so like bright that we didn't know that like anyone was actually there.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of the show, we were like walking off and I look over and I'm like, what?
The lights, I was talking into Mike, I was like, all right, thanks everybody for coming. We're Cascades. And lights came out. I was like, oh, fucking hell, Jesus. I know him.
You were like, lights back off.
Yeah, the one weird thing actually about like doing your headline show is that no one tells you when to get off stage. So when the show's over, you're kind of just standing there and you're like, should we leave now? Or like they're still clapping. So we just kind of stood there for a bit. And I remember looking over at you and you're just looking at me and I was like, oh shit, we should get off.
Yeah. And then we just went back up and it was very anticlimactic, but it's probably better than just standing on stage waiting for encore.
For the encore.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved that bit.
Yeah.
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 What do we play? Oh, you played Still Around, I think.
Yeah.
Cool. Still on encore, people are still like, wait, are they finished?
Yeah.
Like,
you never expect them to come back on. Like, no, I think
that was a sound check. That was our first song.
The first time we played at Tonus, like, because that was just completely makeshift gig. Like,
was that the first time? Was that with us? Or was it before that?
That was the first time, I think. Yeah.
What's this?
Remember we played Tonus twice.
Yeah.
The first time, anyway, we were playing, it was very, like, it was just me renting a room and just saying, yeah. Oh, we're going to bring all our equipment in.
I felt so bad. I just felt like you just expected us to have a van with loads of gear. It's like, we'll get these lads to play with us. They'll bring loads of stuff.
I think we had most of it, anyway. We didn't even have lights and stuff.
Have you got a PA?
Like, that's his brother's again, yeah. And we kind of robbed that.
Yeah, they don't like us taking their stuff, but yeah. We just kind of sneak it off before they come to the... And then when they arrive at the show, like, how did you even get this down here?
We were... when we did that gig, we played every song we have ever known.
Yeah.
And then we were like, all right, thank you very much. And like, one more song. And we were like, oh, shit. We didn't know we were going to get an encore.
I remember being really drunk at that and you going, can you change my string? Yeah. Like, I was like, what?
Dave was like, can I play guitar? And you're like, you left-handed?
That was... I would have changed it myself, but to be honest, I just presumed that you were much better at it than me.
We did a fucking... Like, Ross was asking me to help him because we were after drinking. Right. And somehow we made a fucking balls of it and you had to do it yourself.
Yeah, you spent so long doing it and I gave it back and I had to do it myself. In the end, anyway, it was fine. It was just the worst part about that was it was the second last song.
Yeah.
And, I was under so much pressure, especially since Jamie goes up to the mic and he goes, as a drummer, he goes up to your mic and he goes, "Hey, everybody, sorry, Dave's just getting his shit together over here, so we're back in 5 minutes." Everyone looking at me.
next time he's setting up his drums, we should say that to him.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, guys, we're just waiting for him to get his fucking shit together.
Man, that room really got packed out.
Glad it did because the acoustics weren't good in there. So like the more people, the damper it was.
Yeah. But like it was really like people got killed and stampeded and stuff. Was that because there was only like one like regular door into the
room? Yeah, there was. Tiny. Yeah. If there was a fire in there, I don't know what we were. Yeah. One thing I liked was some people didn't know where it was because it was kind of like upstairs, like you go down an alley and you go up, and someone was saying they were walking down the street and they were walking by and they heard Canned Heat and they were like, oh, we're going here.
That's great. Bathrooms were my favourite in that gig.
Oh my god, they're atrocious.
Hopefully
the people from Tonus aren't listening, but before we get, like, they just let us in because like I don't think anyone has rented out that room. Did we even pay for it?
I paid €50, but they gave it back at the end of the night.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Oh, they made a fortune on that bar.
Yeah. Jesus.
From your band alone.
I remember. I remember people buying drink in the Tesco, like.
Yeah, yeah.
That's because we were underage. The reason we got that is because they let us play because we were underage.
One of the main reasons we went there was because most of our fans were 17 at the time, and so were we.
So yeah, yeah.
So we were just like, "Where won't ask Friday?"
If the guards are listening, they're not anymore. They're like
they're 21.
They're maybe 26 or something. Like that.
Yeah, we were there early, and like they didn't care about what was going on in the room. They just left us. So yeah. Like. Dave was just pulling pints for himself.
Yeah. I felt very rock and roll that day, you know, for the first gig, basically.
Yeah, so I'd help you out. Like, I'm driving now. I wasn't really back then.
Right now?
Yeah, I'm driving.
Live from the boot.
It's a mobile recording studio. Yeah, but I would have brought some gear then. So any more, when we have a lot of other gigs and toners.
Yeah,
I'll bring some stuff.
I don't think we can go back there after. Yeah.
I found in that room there was a lot of stuff to break.
There was mirrors, bookshelves, people,
all our equipment as well. Was pretty shoddy.
There's loads.
Plugs. Oh shit, we still do loads of plugs.
Yeah, plugs.
That's our plug sound, everyone. You know what time it is.
It's time to get the plug, Kevin. So, yous are playing in the Workman's Club on the 7th of October.
Yeah.
And it is €5 in if you want to see a bit of Boom Children.
€5, man, I have a lot of kids. I'm not paying for each of them.
It's okay.
Under 12 is going free. You can sneak them in.
I knew that was true.
You can sneak them and if you want to get a babysitter, there's a night going on in Workman's upstairs and free entry with the...
I thought you were going to say, if you want to get a babysitter, Ronan is doing some babysitting. Just not during the Cascade set.
Yeah.
You guys are headlining.
Mm-hmm.
And on October 7th, the Workman's Club, it's €5 in. You're being supported by Kojak.
That's it.
Who is a mysterious rapper that you discovered somewhere. Just I don't know. I think...
He was famous for his YouTube video.
Singular YouTube video?
Hello?
Yeah, see...
Singular?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about this.
Well, I think... Oh. But you had him... I know he supported you in... Did he support you in Twisted Paper that time?
Yeah,
so you were there before he was hip.
Yeah.
He had a
he
video...
He was hip, though. He's hip-hop.
He had a bit of a viral hit with... it was a song, Midnight Flare, is it?
That's it, yeah.
That's the one.
And it was a video... I don't think you've seen it.
I've seen the video. I just didn't know it was a fucking viral thing.
Yeah,
yeah, got an article on it was an article on Noisy
and Joe and everything.
Yeah,
he's over in London.
But see, it's the video. The video is of him rapping underwater.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus,
for a good 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, it looked like it hurt near the end. Jesus Christ,
he fainted. He, like we were standing watching over him and. He can hold his breath.
Oh, you were forcing him to do. Just holding his head underwater.
Yeah, we were like, he can usually hold his breath underwater for about 4 minutes, but since he was rapping and doing actions, like he ran out of breath very early on, but he wanted to get it done. So he faints at the end of the video, but you only get to see a snippet of it. If you see the real video, it's actually incredibly disturbing. So
the middle behind the scenes one.
Yeah.
If he ever gives that
to the public.
I don't know if you can put that on YouTube.
Yeah,
to be honest.
I don't know if you get away with it. It's terrifying looking.
Because it's you trying to put him back in. Do it again. Who takes this?
No, you messed up the lyrics there. No, 2 minutes 40 seconds.
It's him trying to get out and me just holding his head.
Why did he? Doesn't he like swallow tablets at one point?
I think he just pretends to put it in his mouth and that's it. And
because I remember he had like a thing of tablets and I was like, are they like special like? Underwater breathing tablets.
They are mints. They're like knock off Little.
That wasn't what he was
mints.
Going for anyway.
Plug from Little there. Yeah. You can get good mints.
Because the hook of the line or the hook of the song was about taking another benzodiazepine. Yeah. So
I was just thinking about drugs. I remember you said cocaine. I remember you said cocaine and heroin and was still around.
Yeah.
What's going on there? What are you trying to pressure people to take drugs? A lot of young people listen to your songs.
See, that song was written about my granny, and it's just the truth.
I feel like that was the kind of like the censorship people's answer. It's like, hold on, I heard these two words now, and I don't like it. So
I think that Kojak video has a quarter of a million.
Yeah,
views,
yeah.
Right,
it was his first thing he put up, and like he's a very driven person, and
he's got a car.
And he put it up, and somehow he promoted it well, and he's releasing another video soon, but I'm not allowed to say that.
He has a promo up now for that.
Does he?
For
right, I'm allowed to say it then.
He has another video on top of that that's still in the works. So
did he play in London recently?
Yeah, he was in Club Trop, I think it's called.
After the video went up, somebody asked him to go over, and like they paid flights and accommodation, and
the whole thing about getting a viral video, it's no way of figuring out how to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
He probably wasn't expecting that.
No, I remember we were there. Like, he showed us the video before he put it up, and then we were with him the day he did put it up, and he was like, kept checking every 5 minutes, and I was like, "You've got 200 views already in like 2 hours. That's good." And he was like, "Yeah, I'm delighted." And I was like, "You know, you could probably get like another 100 by the end of the day." And 2 days later, he had like 20,000.
And he had huge numbers like very quickly. I think we knew it was gonna be big. Like there was some like there's something about the video. It's just real kind.
I think it was the hat. I think.
Yeah, it might have been the bucket hat.
Yeah. We should get that hat.
I think I was talking to you about this, David. I remember at the Twisted Paper gig, you did a song with him. But you were backing you were playing was Mellowship Slinky.
Yeah.
Yeah,
In B major from Blood Sugar Sex Magic.
Oh, and we played it so fast.
Yeah,
that was
it was
like
very
the
fast.
Fastest we've ever
Kojak kept on just saying, faster, faster. Oh, we can't play it any faster.
It's in a class, so it was like, this is like, it did like a live sample.
The idea was like, we love that album because it's so funky on the bass, and we wanted to play one of those songs, but then Kojak was saying like, oh, I'll do a song, Witches, like we can do a little collab. And then we're basically like,
no, we tried to convince him to do songs with us, but we couldn't agree on one. And then he came out into the shed once, and we were just jamming that song out because we were learning it. And he started rapping.
He literally just walked in, started rapping
Superboy,
MF Doom
over it, and it sounded like great.
It was one of those like big blockbuster movie moments where a guy comes in, he's like, "Yeah, man, play that. I'm just gonna spit some lyrics."
And then it cuts to it being on the front of magazines.
Yeah.
I could just imagine that on Windows Movie Maker. Newspaper.
Yeah, with the flashlights that come up.
And are you going to... can we expect anything collaboration-wise from this gig?
Think you probably can, yeah.
See, I'd love to do Mellowship Slinky again, but I think we're going to do another kind of funk number.
Can he do a song with us without rehearsing it?
I'd say, well, with you specifically, no, I wouldn't say, because I don't know where he'd begin.
Yeah,
it's on the keytar line.
Yeah.
We have a new song we're working on. I don't know what it's called now. You know the one with Tenny rapping a verse?
Oh, that one, yeah.
And I rap a verse because Tenny's actually
actually ridiculous
no,
rapping.
No, this isn't a joke. He's really good at freestyle rapping. Like you're just like Tenny, stay rapping over this, and he'll come out with like loads. He's really good at writing lyrics and not writing them down.
Yeah,
he just like he'll come out, Tenny. You need a lot of lyrics here. He'll just go. Look out for that.
Yeah, collab with Kojak soon. Tenny Kojak. What's his gangster name?
I think it's just T-Dog.
Oh, Avocadio.
No, that was Avocado.
11.
Yeah, but Avocado and Audio. Avocadio.
Okay. Right. Coolio.
Close enough.
Mm. Well, as usual, we have a few surprises for the gig, you know. It's never the same thing twice.
You're going to play the songs in a different order than usual.
We're playing it all backwards. Hey, thank you. This is our last song. I absolutely love the studio set. So funny with, first of all, the megaphone coming out from the crowd.
Wee-oh.
Yeah. And, I loved that. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, I wish we thought of that.
Yeah. And then the delay that you get in your voice the bit of delay and distortion when you put the megaphone on the guitar is unbelievable.
But I love, seeing you come out. And, like, there's always someone new in the crowd when they see you, and you're like, thanks for Boom Child, this is our last song. And I love looking around and people go like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's good annoying people.
Yeah. Dave said to me before in Shinee, actually, he was like, we're like, when you're going on, he was like, basically when everyone says, what the fuck, that's when you're going on.
David Flood hates doing that intro.
Yeah.
Really?
Always, every time he says,
every
let's
gig,
skip the intro.
He's like, let's not do that. It's so funny.
Is that because he's on stage way before everyone else?
No, not that. He hates pauses and like silences and just like, you know, leaving stuff to build tension. He hates that. Like, it's so funny. It's like, I think we'll skip the intro. We're all set up. Like, someone's like, no.
Oh,
But it was a gag that I always wanted to do, but we've never done it. I don't know, maybe it's not funny, but after the first song, you all walk off and demand an encore to come back on.
that's very like we had that kind of thing where Jamie's mates are always very enthusiastic. They know all the songs and all the words and stuff, and they're always great to have at a gig. But
I started a fan club with a membership fee.
Yeah, pretty much. If we need an encore or something, Jamie just go down into the crowd with his mates and go like, one more tune, and then be like, oh, guys, all right, cool.
They're the easiest people in the world. They have the biggest like mob mentality ever. Yeah. So just start screaming anything. If you go to our next gig, start screaming a chant. You can make it anything, and they'll start doing it with you.
Wow. this sounds like it. I think Jamie might be getting kicked out of the band now, because this reminds me of the Beatles, and they kicked their first drummer out because he was too popular and good-looking.
Oh, the popular thing, I don't think that's a problem. But the good looking thing, that we will have to work on.
Yeah, we're
going
to have to get rid of that.
We told them so many times.
Stop
beating him up.
Usually when we're just practicing, he puts a bag over his head.
Yeah.
So, CascadesIreland.com. You're on all the social media, you're on the gram.
We'll point them to the Facebook page, because we have 3 videos coming up now that are going to be nice professional quality.
Cool.
That's facebook.com/cascadesireland.
Sponsored by this podcast, sponsored by Tough Lip Productions. All these podcasts are produced by Tough Lip Productions. You can't, I know our producer John is behind there, so you can't see him.
I did not see him the whole time.
He's behind there. There are sponsors. You can check all the Boomchild stuff at boomchildband.com. Hope to see everyone on October 7th. If you come to the gig, you'll get a free... I'm trying to think why you get free...
Hoover. Free
Hoover. You get free entry to student life.
Free bear mat.
At 11 p.m.
You get free... in exchange for money, you get a load of free... You get a free gig.
You can get a free Boomchild badge.
We're honestly out of badges.
I have one at home. One person can get a free one.
Two people.
Yeah, if you bring them in, we're genuinely all out of badges.
Two lucky people will get a badge.
We gave too many badges to people we never saw again. I thought it would be good promotion, but...
Well, I know people who I'll be saying like, oh, Boomchild is supporting us on October 7th at Workman's. They'd be like, oh, I won their badges.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's not a lot of bands you can say that about, but...
I won their badges. I've no time for them.
What's it, our mate Panda... has won those badges. And
how are you mates at a panda?
Oh, that's a very long story.
Yeah, go on.
Also, I don't
Does he own the panda chocolate spread? Do you see that?
He owns the he saw you at Toners, and I remember he came up to you after, and he was like, oh, yous were fucking Lidl. He was locked as well. Yous were Lidl, and you're like, do you want a badge? And he's like, oh, what's this? Oh, yous Boomtown. you're like Boomchild, and he's like, Boom. Town.
for the rest of the night, he was like, I can't believe I said Boomtown.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
I knew we should have been called Boomtown. No, we need to combine the names. Because when Stitch Jones were on, we said Boom Jones, I think.
Buscades.
Child Cades.
Children.
Child Cades. Okay, we're ready.
Child Cades. Now we say... So we all say it together. So thanks, David Nolan and Liam Smith from Cascades, for coming in to the Boomchild cast.
Here we go.
We are Childcades, and so are Moo.
Someone said poo.